come on in.
And now, back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
The kids love it.
And your host,
welcome to paradise,
Bill Frank.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Bill Frank Show here on KVTA News Talk 1520. I'm your host, Bill Frank. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is business and politics. As we get closer to the election, these two subjects dominate the conversation. Each of my guests will discuss either business or politics or both. My next guest may be familiar to many of you. He's the CEO of Nations Transaction Services, a credit card processing company. He's also a radio personality on KVTA every Saturday. We'll discuss the credit card processing debacle at this year's London Olympics that left many fans at Wembley Stadium without any purchasing power. Coach Ron Tunick began his career in banking over 35 years ago and continues to draw on his successful background in sales, management, and online strategy in the credit card processing business. Coach began working in the field when there was virtually no internet merchant business, creating a bank internet division to capture the early market share with web builders, ISPs, and prospective merchants. Since those early days, he's been passionate about e-commerce and the changing landscape of online sales, which is what we're going to talk about today. Joining us on the show, hi Coach, how are you today?
Billy, what an honor to be with you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, thank you for being our guest and being a subject matter expert in this area, because this is right up your alley. Let's talk about the debacle in London, if we can, for just a minute. Visa is the official card sponsor of the 2012 Olympic Games. On Sunday, July the 29th, there were spectators at a soccer match between Great Britain and the United Arab Emirates, and they were unable to use their Visa credit or debit cards. A malfunction in the point of service terminals prevented Visa cards from being processed. And this put spectators in a real bind because they could only use cash to purchase food, drinks, and souvenirs. Visa was quick to release a statement that reads, and I'm going to quote now, "We understand that Wembley's systems failed and therefore they're only accepting cash at the food and beverage kiosks. The cash-only decision was made by Wembley management and not Visa, placing the blame squarely on Wembley." As recently as June, however, critics complained that Visa's role as the exclusive payment terminal provider for the Games was potentially a disaster. It turns out that Visa was launching a new POS product at the Games. So, Coach, from your expertise, I want to start first, explain what the role of a credit card processing terminal is in any transaction, and then comment on Visa's decision to launch a new POS during the Games.
Well, I certainly don't represent any of Visa's interest. Visa and MasterCard break up the world into to territory. So you have Visa North America and you have Visa International. So who knows what they're doing over there. But and the 80,000 people in the stadium were absolutely inconvenienced and upset and on and on and on. And it happens occasionally, you know, in this high technology world. You and I talk about all the time, stuff just happens. For them to roll out a new system, and I have no idea, POS system, point of sale, I have no idea why. I'm sure they've tested it for weeks and weeks and weeks, but you never, you know, when you're working with technology, you never know what's going to cause a glitch. I mean, all of us, or most of your listeners, have some form of access to computers, and stuff just happens. So it was very unpleasant, extremely unpleasant for the people there. They couldn't buy anything. There was very few cash machines, and it's horrible when it happens, and that's all I can say about it.
All right. Well, now, talk to us about a POS terminal from a credit card transaction, because most of us are familiar.
Well, the POS, the point of sale, is first of all, Visa MasterCard is relatively a new industry. It only goes back to Bank AmeriCard, which was the original system in 1978. But POS, point of sale, that's what it stands for. When you swipe your credit card, it's amazing, Bill, with less than a second, the POS system represents the front end or the transaction part of the sale, and it reaches out to your bank and it tells the merchant whether or not your card is any good and whether or not you have enough credit in your card. And it's amazing what these people have developed over the years. In less than 1 second, it tells you that kind of information. Now the card is swiped. Now the front end or the POS system is done its job. It delivers the sale transaction. And I don't want to get complicated here. It's boring to your listeners. But it delivers the sale transaction to the back end that does all the accounting and then distributes the money to the merchant 24 or 48 hours later, distributes the money to the bank, distributes money to the credit card processor, and distributes money to the merchant. So there's a lot going on behind the scenes within seconds after the credit card is swiped. Today, what's interesting, I think, to the listener is 50% of all credit cards, Bill, are debit, which means the money is directly taken out of your checking account. What this does is it reduces the risk for the merchant, but it increases dramatically the risk for the consumer. It is very difficult to charge back an item when you use your debit card. There's so much fraud, and we can do another show on this, but there's so much fraud in the debit card system that this is not something that Visa or MasterCard is publicly happy to even discuss. If your PIN gets stolen, you can literally have your checking account wiped out, and unfortunately it happens way too many times.
That is a very frightening thought. My guest is Coach Ron Tunick. We're talking about the debacle at Wembley Stadium at this year's London Olympic Games. Now, Coach, in that discussion, I scratch my head a little bit, because if I walk into a store, don't most credit card processing POS terminals accept all forms of credit and debit cards? So if Visa cards didn't work at Wembley Stadium, why wouldn't a consumer just whip out their MasterCard and pay with a MasterCard?
Well, because it's a electronic system, so when the system goes down, it can't take any credit cards. It's one system that supports Visa, MasterCard, American Express, and Discover. So when the system is broken, it can't take anybody's credit card.
Gotcha. All right, that makes a lot of sense. So care to speculate on the impact of this one-day failure, what that's going to have Visa?
The impact affected the 80,000 people that wanted to buy, you know, a hot dog or a drink or whatever they sell over in England. But, you know, other than that, and you saw Visa's reply, you know, their acknowledgement of it was hilarious. You read it on the air. All they did was acknowledge that it happened. They didn't even say they were sorry.
Exactly.
They just acknowledged it. So I think the only thing that I take away from this is the lack of true passion, or that passion is not the right word, but, you know, I just wondered today, you know, I've talked about it so many times on the air, you just wonder if anybody cares or pays attention to what happens to the consumers at any level. The big corporations, do they really care? I don't know. I really don't know anymore.
Well, that is a point of discussion for another topic. My guest is Coach Ron Tunick. We're talking about credit card transactions, credit card processing, and the magic behind that. Coach is the CEO of Nations Transaction Services. So most of us use our credit cards and our debit cards on a daily basis. And if you're like me, I don't really think much about the process behind it. So, Coach, take us a little bit behind the scenes, if you will, from a banker's perspective. What's the magic behind issuing, accepting, and processing a credit card transaction?
Great questions. A lot of questions there. Let me start with some basic things. If you're going to travel, I suggest you have one card. You leave all the other cards at home. You use one card for travel purposes. I also suggest you do not use your debit card online. Today, I think the security, the responsibility of an adult to manage their own credit cards is becoming increasingly more and more important every day. So I know too much about this business, and maybe I'm too paranoid, but when I go into a restaurant and I give my credit card to a waitress, I kind of follow that waitress back to where I want to see where she's taking that credit card.
Sure.
So I think the other thing is you have to be very, very careful where you use your credit card. There are cultural environments in which gangs pay people at merchant locations to steal the numbers of credit cards. I mean, a lot of stuff is going on behind the scenes, so you have to be very, very careful where you use your credit card and who you give your credit card a number to. Okay, so with that said, the credit card business is nothing more than a short-term loan from the merchant to the consumer. That's all it is. It's about a 24 to 48 hour loan. So it's based on credit. And if you have great credit, everybody wants you to have their credit card. If you have decent credit, you're still going to be able to get credit cards. And if you have bad credit, you still have access to getting credit cards. The rates that you're going to pay are going to be probably north of about 19% if you have very, very bad credit. So people are really punished in our society for having bad credit with the credit card companies, and their tolerance level for making a mistake. If they've issued you a credit card and you make one mistake, their tolerance level now is almost nil. They'll cancel the credit card if you don't make your payment on time. When you have bad credit, typically you have to put up a deposit. You put up a deposit of $500 or $1,000, and they'll keep that money on deposit and issue a credit card so that you have the use of a credit card for, and your credit on the credit card will be only what you put up as a deposit. One of the challenging things today is a lot of industries like a hotel. It's virtually impossible to check into a hotel without a credit card. And, you know, if you have limited credit on your credit card, you're not going to be able to reserve that hotel room a week or two out. So managing your credit today may be one of the most important things. Besides taking care of your health, you better be able to learn how to manage your credit card.
All right, Coach, let me stop you right there because this is a puzzlement to me. Why do we continue to receive credit card offers in the mail even after the credit crunch of 2007, 2008? I mean, didn't bankers learn their lesson about credit to consumers?
You're asking the wrong person about bankers. I'm not sure who our enemies are of our country, but I'm concerned that bankers, for the entrepreneurial guy like myself, bankers do not reach out, do not make loans, do not care about what is going on in the entrepreneurial community. So I'm not a real fan of banks. But think about it. Interest rates from the Fed, the cost of money from the federal government to the banks is virtually nil. So if a credit card company can charge you 15 to 23% interest and they virtually have no cost, it is very, very profitable to put a credit card in your hand because they'll take the risk that a percentage, 3%, 4%, 5% of the public will go into default. But do the math. If 5% go bad and you're earning 20%, you can probably afford to take the hit.
That makes a very compelling argument. My guest is Coach Ron Tunick. So, Coach, talk to us about Nations Transaction Services, your business itself. I mean, what's the magic there? Why do merchants need a credit card transaction processor like Nations Transaction Services?
Well, it goes back to the original days of Bank AmeriCard, and then they had a consortium, eight other banks, and changed the name to Visa. So the original rules did not allow the banks to do a business directly with the consumer. There had to be a middleman for a lot of reasons. There had to be a middleman because somebody had to go out and sell the services to the merchants. In 1979 and 80, if you remember, Billy, you used to go into a restaurant and there was a telephone-sized book, and in the book were credit card numbers, and all they were doing was looking up to see if your credit card had been stolen or your credit card number was able to be used. So with electronic processing now, you don't have that problem. But still, somebody has to go out and make the sale to the merchant. Banks, some banks have sales departments, most do not. So they use a middleman like Nations Transaction Services to do the signing up of the merchant, to do the servicing of the merchant. There's constant issues and things that come up with the merchant. Those have to be solved by my company. So we do all the servicing for the bank. So you have Visa, MasterCard as the parent, so to speak, and the banks represent, they're the middleman between the processor and the banks, and then we do all the work.
Gotcha. Makes a lot of sense. My guest is Coach Ron Tunick. Coach, I want to change gears for just a minute here and talk about disruption in your industry, if I can, for just a minute. Jack Dorsey, who you've had on your show, he's the founder of Twitter, and he's a serial entrepreneur. He's got a new project called Square. Square is a hardware device that attaches to any iPhone, iPad, or Android device, and it allows the user to accept credit card payments. Now, Square charges about 2.75% for each transaction, but this puts thousands of credit card processing terminals into the hands of ordinary citizens like me. So, conceivably, I could get a Square hardware adapter for my iPhone and accept payments for consulting services or guest appearances and so forth and so on. Square also allows me to pay using my iPhone. And there are a lot of competitors in this space, things like PayPal, Google Wallet, WePay, TwitPay, OboPay, just to name a few. But in what ways do these devices and these services threaten the traditional credit card processing business?
Another great question by Bill Frank. So the answer is it's the future. Whether we like it or not, something like 200 million people now carry some form of a smartphone. Probably within another 2 or 3 years, that'll be up to 300 million. Some people, like myself, have two phones, so some of the numbers are a little exaggerated. But the bottom line is we are going to be doing business on our smartphones or tablets or iPads. So it's a natural progression that we should be taking credit cards. In fact, we are within 2 weeks of rolling out our own system. We've invested a lot of money and partnered up with a company that has a state-of-the-art system, even a better system than Square. We know a lot about Square, so it all sounds good, but the bottom line is we want to make it as comfortable, as convenient, and as easy as possible for the consumer to buy and purchase. So if you're carrying your own credit card processing machine, it makes it more convenient. Also, you don't have to now give your credit card to a stranger, Bill, and this is one of the big value adds. You can hold on to your credit card, take your credit card, and swipe it through your own processing or POS system, and that is going to hopefully reduce a lot of fraud and a lot of pain. It's also going to create some other problems, such as customer service, because Square virtually has no customer service. You can't get a hold of them. So if you have a problem with Square, they want you to email them. That, and I'm sure as the years go along, as PayPal had no customer service in the early years. They were frustrating to work with. They've improved their system dramatically. But it is going to be a real value add as the years go along where we will be holding on to our own credit cards. That will be a real positive issue. And the convenience of being able to see something and buy it right there on the spot. So it's almost like self-service. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense, and it leads me to my next question, Coach. Is cash dead?
I think cash is going to take a rest for a while. I think we don't understand the relationship between cash and purchasing power right now. I still carry cash. I'm an old-fashioned guy. I still use cash. I don't use my credit cards other than using them for checking into a hotel. I pay for everything by cash, but that's me. I think that cash is going to have a role to play. I'm not sure. People are still trying to figure out what that role is. In small ticket items, convenience stores, cash is still used. If you go into a convenience store, you will still see people pull out a $5 bill for, you know, for their favorite drink. But other than that, you're right. It's under attack right now, and whether or not it'll ever go away, I doubt it. I doubt it if cash will ever disappear. But it's certainly being questioned as to its value in our society right now.
That's a great answer. My guest has been Coach Ron Tunick. Coach, you've probably piqued the interest of some of my listeners. Maybe some merchants out there want to learn more about credit card transaction services, nations. If they do, how would you advise they get in contact with you?
Well, it's the phone number is 866-222-2112, 866-222-2112. Just ask for the coach. I'll personally call you, and if you tell the person that you heard me on Billy's show, I will give you a discount. How about that? I'll give you a big discount.
That is great, Coach. Thank you so much for being my guest here on the Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.
It's always an honor, Billy. You know that.